You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy each and every Thursday. How blessed are we? We're going to begin today with prayer, as we always do. We're going to be using as our prayer a supplication. And this is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. It's the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Mother, welcome. Sisters, welcome. You know, Mother, it's no surprise that that Our Lady is going to be giving us something yet more surprising, because our Blessed Lord has entrusted to our Blessed Mother the gifts of the divine will to be shared with whomever she wishes, when she wishes, to what extent she wishes, in essence, doing the will of the Father. Again, it's a mystical gift. You know, we don't get the gift of living the divine will is not given like our baptismal gifts equally. It's actually given unequally, but it's given in a forum and in a methodology that just a few can help the masses. And again, it's not what we do. It's what God is doing in us. In fact, St. Louis de Montfort, he coined the phrase. He said, in the later times, in the latter days, they'll be the greatest of all saints. But yet it'll be nothing that they have done, but everything that God has done for them. So in essence, you know, we can only do as well as the grace and graces we receive. And God is going to give extra graces during this time of extra evil, which, if you want to call it that, which is, you know, surrounding the world at this time. So God's going to combat it. We know who wins, and we just have to trust and have confidence and have patience that God will turn this script around whenever he wants, when he wants. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. It's just a joy.
Hello, Peter, and everybody out there.
What a blessing.
Yeah, we just have to just realize, too, that, yes, our Lord will give us the grace and give us the gift through Our Lady. All graces come through Our Lady. But, you know, give it to all those who want it. And Our Lady is wanting to give it to us, but she wants us to desire it, because we can only get the gift if we desire to have the gift. But God is so good, he will not deny any person the gift if they desire it and they yield to it and do what's necessary in order to obtain the gift, which is to understand the knowledges of it, to understand what this gift really is, how God transforms the soul. He loves you so much. He loves each one of us so much. He wants to relive his life in us, but he wants us to invite him. He's a gentleman. He won't come unless he's invited. I was just reading here. This is in volume 20. It was 1926, November 16th. Oh, how beautiful is the heaven of the soul who lives in my will. It is a heaven with no storms, with no clouds, with no rain. Because the water that quenches her thirst, that fecundates her, that gives her growth, and the likeness of he who created her is my will. It's jealousy, so that the soul would not take anything if it is not its own. It's so great that it does all the offices. If she wants to drink, it makes itself water, that while refreshing her, extinguishes all other thirst, so that her only thirst may be its will. If she is hungry, it makes itself food, that while satiating her, takes away from her the appetite for all other foods. If she wants to be beautiful, it makes itself brush, giving her brush strokes of such beauty that my will itself remains enraptured by a beauty so rare. impressed by it itself in the creature. It must be able to say to the whole of heaven, look at her, how beautiful she is. It is a flower. It is a fragrance. It is a color of my volition that made her so beautiful. So in the eyes of God, Louisa was very beautiful. Our Lady, very beautiful. You know, when the children, I think in Medjugorje, asked her why she's so beautiful. And she says, because I love much. If you want to be beautiful, you must love. Well, as we live in divine will and we ask God, we ask Jesus to do everything in and through us, we take on his attributes. We take on his virtues. We love with his love. That's the greatest love that we can love with, his love. Not a passionate love. You may not feel it. You're not, you won't feel that. When I go to communion, I say, Jesus, I want to love you with your own love. I don't have to feel any different. I have to realize that by desiring that, it actually happens. I am loving him with his own love. He is getting the glory of me allowing him to love himself in me. That's what it's all about, letting him love himself in us and through us. So the divine will is a great gift. You know, it's the greatest gift. It goes on to say, in some, it gives her its strength, its light, its sanctity, and everything so that as to be able to say, she is a work fully of my will. Therefore, I want her to lack nothing, to be like me and to possess me. Look into yourself to see the work of my will, how your acts, invested by its light, have changed the earth of your soul. Everything is light that arises within you and turns to wound he who invested it. Therefore, the greatest affront I receive from creatures is to not do my will. So he is longing for each one of us to live totally in his will. Like I said before, it's only by the desire that we get the gift. If you desire it, you're going to get it because he wants to give it to you more than you want it. But you have to make that first effort of desiring it, and he gives you the grace. He goes on to say, but I will use this for my highest purposes and the union. He's talking about chastisements here. And the reunion of so many races will serve to facilitate the communications of the truths so that they may dispose themselves for the kingdom of the supreme will, fiat. So the chastisements that have occurred are nothing other than the preludes of those that will come. How many more cities will be destroyed? How many peoples buried under the ruins? How many places buried and plunged into the abyss? The elements will take the part of their creator. My justice can bear no more. My will wants to triumph. So he wants his will to come. But in order for his will to come, purification has to take place first. The world and the church has to be crucified, and that's what's happening right now. And would want to triumph, he wants to triumph by means of love in order to establish his kingdom. But man does not want to come to meet this love. Therefore, it is necessary to use justice. So he wants his will to come and triumph upon the earth even more than we do. He wants to give it to us by means of love, but mankind is not accepting it by means of love. So he's got to give it to us through justice. But he's trying to give us a gift, a great gift. So he's going to use justice to manifest it in the midst of his people on earth. So we've been praying for his kingdom to come upon earth for all the centuries since our Lord came, since he taught us the Our Father. We've been praying that prayer, asking for his kingdom to come and reign on earth as it does in heaven. And now it's getting ready to happen. We may see fireworks before it happens, but that's okay. We have to be happy. Happy that he wants to purify us and allow his justice to come. His justice is also his love and his mercy, because through his justice, he comes to save our souls. And whenever Louisa would beg him not to chastise the people, he said, but you don't understand. I love them. I want to save their souls. And unless they're chastised, they will be lost forever. So the most important thing is to save the soul, not the body. So anybody wants to share anything?
That's right. Well, you know, Mother, really quickly, you know, the way God has presented this to us, it's a silly analogy would be, let's say we have a really good friend or even our spouse who must go somewhere on a certain particular time and they're sleeping. We gently try to wake them up. We shake them up. You have to wake up. You do it very gently. Then you have to get a little more aggressive. They have to wake up. In the end, you may even have to revert to even pouring water on them, which I've actually done personally. They weren't a big fan of my house when I did that. But God has to wake us up. And in most instances, it's through his justice that we awaken. But you made another great point too, that it's the desire. Jesus tells, I think it's in volume 11, if we're in the state of grace, all we need is that ardent desire and we enter. Again, there's a trillion stages and levels in the divine will. We just want to get our foot in the door. And that's how we can do it in the state of grace with an ardent desire, this gift. And hopefully through this program and other programs like this, we can instill and formulate that desire. Hello, sister. Good morning.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everybody. I just would like to share my meditation today. We have been practicing lately for this whole week, actually, for Teresa's final vow. And Sister Dora also is getting her investment, new name, a new habit. So I can't help but really meditate on the gift of religious life, the consecrated life. So I decided to meditate on the day 14 of Our Lady's book. The Queen of Heaven and the Kingdom of the Divine Will arrives at the temple, her dwelling, and becomes the model for souls consecrated to the Lord. And I would like to meditate on this short paragraph about thanksgiving. Our Blessed Mother is teaching us about thanksgiving. And she said, "My child, thanking the Lord and placing all of our acts into his hands as pledges of our love causes new channels of graces and communications to be opened between God and the soul. And it is the most beautiful homage that one can render to the one who loves us so much. Therefore, learn from me to thank the Lord for all that he disposes for you. And in anything you are about to do, may your word be, 'Thank you, O Lord. I place everything in your hands.'" And I listened to mothers sharing, and also you, Peter, about the graces and the love, and mothers mentioning that, you know, God wants us to just love him back. And this is what it is. I mean, I think, yes, we have to start from desire. And that to have this desire to receive this grace from God, to recognize the love that he has for us. But I think even if we don't understand, even if we don't have the desire yet, just thank him anyway. Thank him in everything, because the fact that we are alive, the fact that we have a roof above our head and the food that we eat, that's enough. Just even the moment that we wake up in the morning, just be able to breathe, to function, our body function when you go to the bathroom, that's enough to thank the Lord. And I think when we thank him, no matter what happens in our lives, especially in our religious life, we thank God for everything. Then I think the Lord will pour out his graces. This is what he said here. Cause is new. Okay, he said, if we thank the Lord out of love, out of his love for us, causes new channels of graces and communications. So that will, just being thankful to him, opens heaven for more graces. And then these graces will give us and helps us to understand and recognize his love. And then when we recognize it, then the more we wanted it, the more we know, the more we want, the more we know, and it grows. It never stops. It never ends. And then I continue here. He said, "My child, to live of divine will should be the desire, the yearning, and the almost the passion of all." So again, it mentions about the desire, the yearning. And then he says, "Now, my child, I departed from my paternal house with courage and detachment because I look only at the divine will in which I kept my heart fixed. And this was enough for me in everything." So for religious life, really, we depart our homeland, our family, and everything else just in order to follow the divine will. This is our calling. And I'm sure any of you have calling too. You're called to be married. You're called to be single. And again, even though you're married and single, you still have that detachment. You're still called to be detached to anything and to anyone, because everything that we do has to be in the right order. And that is God first. If we love our spouses, we love our children, we love our neighbors, everything else, love them because God loves them, because God wants us to love them. And then about detachment here, the last paragraph, and then I'm finished. She said, "Now listen to your mama. Tell me, do you feel in your heart joy, peace, detachment from everything and from everyone, and the courage to do anything in order to fulfill the divine will in such a way to feel continuous peace within yourself? My child, peace, detachment, and courage from the empty space in the courage form the empty space in the soul in which a divine will can take its place. And being untouchable by any pain, the divine will brings perennial feast into the creature Therefore, courage, my child. Tell me you want to live in the divine will and your mama will take care of everything. So I would like to say this, being untouchable by any pain. I don't think this means body pain, because right now I'm aching, you know, the weather is cold, my, you know, I'm just not, you know, physically. But I think what he talked about here is the pain of loneliness, the pain of love, not being loved, rejected, you know, all these things that, because it's really not reasonable to be depressed, you know, unless it's pathological, of course, but to be depressed, there's no reason to be depressed. There's no reason to be lonely, because we have God with us. God, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity dwells in ourselves. And if we recognize that, then we are loved. We don't need anybody's love. You know, we just have to discern God's love, and that should be enough. And this is what Mother Mary teaches us. Also, we don't need to worry about anything, because if God is our Father, he takes care of everything. So these are the pains and sufferings that the world suffers the most. Mother Teresa says the greatest poverty is the poverty of love, because people do not no longer recognize that they are loved. So people feel lonely, loveless, and that's the worst pain, I think.
Right. And, you know, sister, we're never alone. We have to recognize that. You know, you mentioned about, you know, all of us are given an office, whether we know it or not. Some are called the religious life. Some are called the secular life. Some are called the single life, married life, so on. But Jesus tells us point blank in volume 14, August 23rd, 1922. He says, quote, "I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it." End quote. Do we believe that? Because if we believe that, regardless of our office, the calling to the divine will in the vehicle in which God has given us in our lives is the ultimate destination. That's our final goal. That's the end chapter. It's already written. We just have to stay away from editing it. Stop changing what God has planned for us, because he has glory in store for each and every one of us. Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, and I think the thing that I know I have to keep reminding myself is that God wants us to live in his will more than we do. You know, sometimes I think it's almost like trying to live in the divine will is like this test, and God's trying to trip us up or seeing how much we can take or whatever, but it's really just love, you know. Live, I say this a lot, but I feel like the more I read, the more the Holy Spirit just keeps telling me it's just about entering into the most deepest relationship that we can have with the Holy Trinity. And I wanted to read a passage from volume 32, February 29th, 1933. That was just so beautiful. I never realized before how full of love these later volumes are. It's like the Lord's heart is just, you know, the beginning volumes, he kind of prepares us, you know, teaching us about the importance of the cross and living the virtues. But the end volumes, it's like as it's coming to an end, it's building momentum, and his heart is just cracked wide open and just trying to show us just how much he loves us. So Jesus tells Louisa, "My blessed daughter, you ought to know that our love and burning desire to have the soul with us is so great that no sooner is she created than we assign her the royal place in our divine will, so that each soul has her place of honor in our divine royal palace. Indeed, her beginning, her first act of life, as much in time as in eternity, exists in our fiat. She was not yet in the world, and we loved her. And so much did we long for her. Not only did we give her the place, but we placed our love, sanctity, power, light and beauty as her cortege. She is the noble princess who comes down from the heights of heaven to pass through the exile. But our will does not leave her. It goes down in union with her, presses itself around her, and passes through the exile with her. In every act that she does, in pain, joy, or encounters, it places its prime divine act there so that she maintains her nobility and her state of being a princess. And when it has filled her with every blessing so that she has no more room to store other blessings, she rises again to heaven into the height of the spheres, and she is pointed out to the whole heavenly court as a victor. This is what my divine will wants to do and knows how to do for the soul. But to our sorrow, we see that as she goes down into the exile, she does not think about her royal palace anymore, nor about her noble origin. And she would like to slip away from our will, which carries her more tenderly than a tender mother would carry her in her arms. and passing through the doors of the senses that we have given her, she goes down into the baseness of her will. We had given her those doors to rise up to us again so that she could make her little escapes from the exile into the bosom of her creator. But instead, she uses them to make her little escapes into wretchedness, into weaknesses and passions, so that as she goes down from her nobility, she recognizes that she is no longer the princess of heaven, but the servant of the earth. Yet despite this, we do not close the doors of our love, our fatherly goodness, our compassionate mercy, and the expectations that we have. And no sooner do we see that she closes her doors to enter into our will than we go to meet her. We open wide our doors to her, and seeing her as an uncultivated beauty with her princess's garments torn and dirty, we do not give her one word of rebuke, but with all our fatherly compassion, we say to her, "Where have you been, poor daughter? How you have lowered yourself. Have you seen how much evil you have done by living in the baseness of your human will, not united with ours? We have walked without a guide. You have walked without a guide, without light, food, or protection. Then do not do it anymore, so that by amending yourself, you may always redo the good that you have lost." So we have to have trust to live in the divine will. As I was reading this, I was thinking of, you know, Therese's little way, confidence. This is the voice of God we have to have in our head, because this is his true voice. You know, the voice of love that loved us before we even came into the world, that prepared a place for us in heaven and prepared for us to even live heaven on earth. And that voice of love that also forgives us without harsh rebukes, but just with the tender love of a father that's ready to welcome us in his arms. So just that constant reminder of how much we loved, I think is really our strength and during our journey in the divine will.
I agree, sister. And, you know, I think part of that love also is recognizing and understanding and believing, trusting. I mean, everything we've read so far, everything that all the sisters have shared and mother has shared thus far, I mean, each is a miracle in of itself. And if we believe this to be true, then there is no more worry. There are no more fears. Everything's going to be okay. And I truly believe that. And I think, you know, sister, we were talking about this, I think it was two sessions ago or so. You shared a passage from March 26, 1933 that stayed in my mind. It starts off with, "Therefore, you must content yourself with remaining alive without you being the master. Because this is the greatest sacrifice and heroism of one who lives in the divine will, feeling herself alive in order to endure the divine mastery, such that she does what it wants, how it wants, as long as it wants. This is the sacrifice of sacrifices, the heroism of heroisms." I'll stop there. Because it's denying ourselves. We think we know what we need, and we don't, unless we discover that God only knows, and he provides everything for us. It's really interesting. I want to go into the break with something really important. Of course, Christmas is quickly coming. In fact, if you go to any store, you'll find out that it almost looks like it's already here. But what is the greatest gift that we can give to each other? Well, I can give some personal perspectives here. I think the greatest gift that we can give each other is an introduction to the gift of living the divine will, because Jesus says it's the greatest of all gifts. It's the gifts of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. So I think that's number one. Number two, perhaps you can give a donation to Radio Maria in memory of a loved one for this Christmas, which again, goes a long way. I mean, we're talking about millions of people in dozens of countries that reap the reward and the benefit of receiving the broadcast of Radio Maria. Third, I think, would be this beautiful nativity set that Radio Maria is offering. It's a giveaway. And I just want to give a little bit of information about this. This Radio Maria giveaway, it's a Christmas nativity set. To register to win, you need to go online to radiomaria.us/nativity set. Again, that's radiomaria.us/nativity set. No purchase is necessary. Okay, this nativity set has 14 figures, ranging in size from, I think, 2 inches to about 7 inches. It includes the Holy Family, the three kings, the star angel, the shepherds, the sheep. The gifts that are in the nativity set are genuine: frankincense, myrrh, and 23-karat gold. Each figurine is freely embellished with details and trim to make this real-life telling of the Christmas story. Again, this could be a great gift to give. You'll be a hero for giving this gift to somebody that is special in your life. So again, the gift of living in the divine will this Christmas season is the greatest gift, I believe, that we can give to mankind and to each other, for that matter, because we need to love each other. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our homes. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, and God's been working very hard for 6,000 years. And he says, we finally arrive. We're finally going back to where we belong, the other side. Finally. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will here on Radio Maria. And that was Christina Lenway with the song Finally. And if you'd like to hear that again, it's on YouTube. It's also on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's queenofthedivinewill.org. There's a whole host of things there, especially Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters. There's hours and hours of cenacles, live cenacles with them that you may want to refresh with. Going into the first half, talking about the first half, you know, Mother was talking to us about how God wants us to receive this gift more than we want this gift. And again, he explains also that he's given everyone the opportunity. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913, quote, Louisa says, "Now, blessed Jesus came to me and told me, my daughter, I had to do in such a way that sanctity might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. In all conditions, in all circumstances, in every place." End quote. So this is available to everyone. In the state of grace, with an ardent desire, Jesus tells us, I think it's volume 11, that he guarantees we will receive this gift. State of grace, ardent desire. The knowledges will come. Remember, desire admits us to this gift. Knowledge advances us to this gift. Virtues anchor us in this gift. And life actualizes us in this gift. Any wonder why all four of the responses on that, on those four, are all A for excellence? maybe just, I don't know if that's the way he intended, but you know, God has given us everything and he's going to be with us step by step. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hi, how are you? In the beginning, I was talking about the justice, and we are kind of like pulling his justice upon us because of our sin. And one of the sin that really hurts Jesus, the God, the most, is the sin of abortion. And this is from volume 2, June 9th, 1899. "I spent this morning very anguished because of the many offenses which I saw him receive from men, especially because of certain horrendous dishonesties. How much the loss of souls grieved Jesus, more so since it was a newborn baby that they were going to kill without administering holy baptism to him. It seems to me that this sin weighs so much on the scale of divine justice that it is the one that most cries out for revenge before God. Yet these sorrowful scenes are renewed so very often. My most sweet Jesus was so afflicted as to arouse pity. Seeing him in such a state, I did not dare to tell him anything. And Jesus just told me, 'My daughter, unite your sufferings to mine, your prayers to mine, so that they may be more acceptable before the majesty of God, and may appear not as your things, but as my own works.' Then he continued to make himself sin other times, but always in silence. May the Lord be always blessed." When I read this passage, it really hurts me. And then, you know, think me how much innocent blood is shed nowadays. You know, the babies, they get killed in their mother's womb, even before they come into the world to see the light. And then the womb, which is supposed to be a very sacred body organ, which embraces and carries and nourishes a baby, it changes to tomb of their own baby. And I think this is another form of human sacrifice. And of course, there are inevitable cases that, you know, when the pregnancy endangers mother's life. But a life begins the moment when it's conceived. Not only after a baby's born, but it starts when it's conceived. It's not just a cell or some kind of foreign mass that you remove easily, but there are humans with soul, life of divine will, and God's life is flowing in them. And his divine will creates us out of love, and we are his. And each soul has a royal place in his heart, and because as soon as they are created, and I saw a video of OBGYN doctor who converted. It showed how abortion is performed, and it showed the baby's movement and face through x-ray while the baby was torn and suctioned. The baby was crying in the silence, and it was running away from this surgical instrument and suction, and they can really feel the pain. And also there's a story, a woman went to Padre Pio for confession because of the sin of abortion. And I don't remember the details, but she went to the well and on the water, she saw a pope. And Padre Pio said, "That's the son that you aborted that was supposed to become a pope." So really know and feel Jesus' pain and unite our sufferings and pain and our prayers to his in reparation for the sin and the divine will. And there's a prayer to baptize aborted babies. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, your love is eternal. In your ocean of love, you saved the world through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now look at your only Son on the cross, who is constantly bleeding for love of his people, and forgive your world. Purify and baptize aborted children with the precious blood and water from the sacred side of your Son, Jesus Christ, who hung dead on the cross for their salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may they, through the holy death of Jesus Christ, gain everlasting life, through his wounds be healed, and through his precious blood be freed, there to rejoice with the saints in heaven. Amen. Really, the cry and blood of innocent souls, it fills the heaven, and their number is so great. So let us pray these prayers in the divine will so that God's mercy will save innocent unborn babies and help the people to repent and not to fall into this mortal sin and not to lose their souls. Thank you.
It's a beautiful passage. Thank you, Sister Gloria, for that. Now, we talk about chastisements often because, again, Jesus speaks about it often in the Book of Heaven. But our consolation, we know that God is going to mitigate. To what extent, we're not sure. It really dependent and predicated on our prayer and our faithfulness to him. But in volume 11, May 18th, 1915, Jesus explains this to Louisa and to us, quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside. I place the souls who live completely in my will on earth in the same condition as the blessed in heaven. Therefore, live in my will and fear nothing." End quote. Mother?
Yeah, so this passage that Sister Gloria shared was really, I mean, it really touched me. And it makes me think, I mean, this woman that went to confession to Padre Pio, and this aborted baby actually was supposed to be the Pope, and because she did her human will and did this horrible sin, I mean, it didn't become a Pope. And it makes me think, like, how many times we do mistakes that we think, I mean, even little mistakes, you know, and God had, I mean, Jesus did in his most holy will, like he redid all our lives, like he planned a divine life for each one of us, and he wants us to take it. Like Sister Francesca said, I think she said, I mean, it's all about love. God actually wants much more than us that we take that divine life. And then what is very, very consoling is that it is really the absolute will of God that his kingdom come upon earth. So but it's up to us, you know, if like how much in, I think, in what quantity we will be part of it. Like it's our choice. And then I was reading in the volume 24, June 20, 1928. Value of what is done in the divine will, how Jesus, who had always been with his mother, moved away when he carried out his public life, application to the soul. And so Jesus is explaining to Lisa, "So everything you see in the whole universe are nothing other than the effects of the one single act of God," like he's talking of the prime act. And because it is one single act, it possesses the virtue of order and harmony in all the effects it produces. The same happens with the soul who lives in my divine will. By living in the one act of God, she feels all the effects of that single act of God in all of her acts. She feels within herself the order, the harmony, the beauty, the strength of the one divine act that more than light produces so many effects that she feels heaven, sun, seas, flowery fields, and everything good present in heaven and on earth being produced in her acts. What can one who lives in my will not enclose of what is great, of what is good? Everything. She is the true sun that, in whatever it does and touches, produces various tints of beauty, of sweetness, of goodness, and of multiple effects, because all of its acts hang upon the one act of He who created it. After this, I was thinking of the great good that what is done in the divine will encloses, its great good, and my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, what is done in my divine will encloses an incalculable value. It is as if the soul had two scale bands in her hands, placing in each band an object of equal weight and of equal value. One is the weight of these objects, one the value, one the price that she can collect. Now, in one band, God places His will. In the other, the soul places what she does in it. As the two pens rise, they remain perfectly balanced, and they both elevate to the same level, because since the will of God and that of the soul are one, wherever it operates, whether in God or in the creature, one is the value. My will alone elevates the soul to the likeness of her creator. What is done in it places her in the order of the divine works." So, I mean, this was kind of at the beginning, like for me, difficult to understand. But yeah, it's really all about love. God loves us so much that He really wants to elevate us to the same level as Him. I mean, however this like remarkable and strange may sound. Like as we said, He really wants us to receive the gift, to take possession of these divine lives that He planned for us from all of the eternity, much more than us. So in all these little things, I mean, how little things can lead to great things. In the other passage, Jesus was telling Luisa, yes, the children of the kingdom of the divine will be tested, like not ever doing their own will. So, I mean, it sounds like impossible, but it's all in the acts and rounds, and, you know, like constantly reminding ourselves to call Jesus in every and each little act we do.
Thank you, sister. You know, when mentioned there, incalculable grace and graces and measures that can come from just one act of the divine will. The big delineation is that, well, let me just read a quick line from volume 14, June 15th, 1922. This is Jesus speaking. He says, quote, "If it were not for the prodigy of my supreme will, my redemption itself would not have extended to every individual, but would have been limited, extending to only a few generations." So if Jesus came not doing the will of the Father and did what He did, He would have only effectuated change for those generations present, the young, middle-aged, the elderly, maybe the very elderly, maybe four generations at max. But because He was coming to do the will of the Father, He was in that eternal now, that one act, and it affected all souls, past, present, and future, and will continue to affect those souls, again, if they want to receive this grace. So that's the big delineation between doing the will of God and possessing the will of God. And that's why St. Louis de Montfort can state with confidence that the greatest of all saints will be at the end times. And again, it's nothing that we have done or they have done. It's because what God has done in us and made available to us. Mother?
Yeah, we're talking about abortion. And I was thinking of the little baby that a woman aborted that was to be the Pope one day. But every child has a special mission. And that special mission is to live in God's divine will for all eternity in heaven, giving honor and glory to God. What greater mission can anybody have And every child that's aborted, you know, that mission, of course, hopefully those babies will end up in heaven, you know, to give God the glory, the honor and glory he deserves. But, you know, to keep a person from fulfilling in the life that God had planned for them is a great tragedy, you know. And anybody out there that may be thinking of an abortion, I just ask you, please don't do it. You're not only killing the child, but you're going to kill your own soul, and you're going to regret all your life. You're going to suffer for that act all your life. Anybody out there who may have had an abortion, you have to realize God's great love and mercy for you. He forgives everything. There's nothing that you could do that he would not forgive if you're sorry, and he wants you to come back to him. His arms are open to you. So come back to him and love him and realize his great love and mercy and embrace the divine will. And have peace and joy for the rest of your life and your soul.
Amen. Yes, that's so true, Mother. You know, we have to also leverage and use our Blessed Mother. Blessed Mother in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day one, Louisa states to, or relates to Mary, quote, "My mother, you must help your child by giving me your lessons and by teaching me how to form these divine sons in order to give you the most beautiful homage and purest love." She speaks about lessons and teachings, hence the School of Mary, hence Radio Maria. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So we're living in times like the most sinful times, and where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And in May 16th, 1909, Jesus explains to Louisa how the sun is a symbol of grace. So in the beginning part, Jesus tells her how the sun is a symbol of grace. And wherever the sun finds a void, whether it's like a cave or a hole or like a fissure or any empty space, the sunlight illuminates the hole. And the more empty space there is, the more the sunlight can fill that hole. And Jesus compares it to the soul by telling her, "So is my grace, more than majestic sun, it envelops all creatures with its beneficial influence. However, it does not enter but into empty hearts. As much empty space as it finds, so much light does it penetrate into the hearts." And then this also connects with what Sister Magdalena was saying earlier about detachment, because the more we realize our nothingness, the more we detach ourselves, not only from material things, but also from others, from ourselves, from our own human will, from our opinions. We're growing this, we're emptying ourselves out. And the more we empty ourselves out, the more we're allowing the Son of the Divine Will to fill our hearts and souls. These voids, then, how are they formed? Humility is the hoe which digs and forms the void. Detachment from everything and also from oneself is the void itself. The window to let the grace of light enter into this void is trust in God and is trust of ourselves. Therefore, as much trust as one has, so much does he enlarge the door in order to let the light in and to take more grace. The custodian which keeps the light and expands it is peace. So the more we live in the divine will, the more peace we feel in our lives. And the more grace that we allow in our lives, saying, "Jesus, I trust in you. It's you who are doing all these good things in me." And it's true, as Mother often tells us, everything good we have, it comes from God. And the only things we can claim that are from ourselves is our sins. And a beautiful image of grace is the Divine Mercy image, where Jesus' most sacred heart is full of all these graces he wants to flood into our lives. And when we're truly sorry for our sins, we allow God's grace, love, peace, and mercy to wash away all our sins, making our souls whiter than snow. And also during the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, we can also do acts and rounds there. We can say, "Jesus, in the divine will, in the name of all souls, past, present, and future, I place my I love you on the consecration." And just offering it up, offering up all these good acts and making reparation in place of all souls, past, present, and future. And Jesus wants to give us so many graces, but it's up to us to open our divine will. And we can do that through detaching ourselves, through humility. So the more we humble ourselves before God, not just realizing our littleness, but even more nothingness, the more His grace fills our souls. And during the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, Jesus wants to give us so many blessings and graces. And we can even say in the divine will, Jesus, give me all the gifts, blessings, and graces you want to give me that the others reject. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, it's really a really pretty straightforward sequence. Jesus tells us desire admits us to the gift. Knowledge advances us in this gift. Virtues anchor us in this gift. And life actualizes this gift. Again, there are a trillion of stages in between each one of those. But again, every time we take a step, God shines another light. We can see something we haven't seen before. Right, sister?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I like that.
Whatever you say, Peter,
I would respond in the same way. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how much time we have left, but I have one more little passage that
I... 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, perfect. Yeah. This is from April 23rd, which was Luis's birthday, 1933, volume 32. And it's about abandonment. And it brought me a lot of comfort because sometimes it's, you really want to love God more. And it's like, sometimes you run out of the words and we just don't know what to do. And Jesus tells us, you know, the best way we can love Him is abandonment. So He tells Luisa, I can say that in every instant, I placed myself in the hands of my Heavenly Father. It was the most beautiful homage that His Son gave Him, the most profound adoration, the most heroic and total sacrifice, the most intense love of his offspring that my total abandonment into His hands gave Him. It gave voice to my humanity, a commanding voice that asked and obtained everything that I wanted. My Heavenly Father could not deny anything to His only Son abandoned in His arms. My abandonment in every instant was the most pleasing act, so much so that I wanted to crown the last breath of my life with the words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Abandonment is the greatest virtue. It binds God so that He cares for the abandoned one in His arms. Abandonment says to God, I do not want to know anything about myself. This life of mine is yours, not mine, and yours is mine. So if you want to obtain everything, if you want to truly love me, live abandoned in my arms. Let me hear the echo of my life in every instant. Into your hands, I abandon myself completely, and I will carry you in my arms as the dearest of my children. So this is just so beautiful. And this could be like a little motto that, you know, we kind of say in our head all day long when we're in prayer. I know sometimes when I'm feeling dry in prayer, you know, I sit back and I realize, you know what, I'm not the one in the driver's seat. And I just say, you know, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. I'm yours and you are mine. And then there's not much we have to do. You know, the ball is in the Lord's court. We just have to wait for Him to act and be ready to respond.
That's right. Wait for Him to either pass or take the shot. Either way, it's going to be good, right, Mother? Mother, about 30 right. seconds. Any final thoughts?
I encourage everyone to do action around the divine will. Read the books, find out about it, find out what it means, and try to do that, because you're going to find how your life changes and you take on more of God's virtues and attributes as you call Him into all of your activities and you let Him relive His life in you. Amen.
Amen. Action rounds, repairing and redoing. That's our job. That was Adam's job. It's our job as well. Fill those voids. Well, Mother, sisters, thank you so much. We thank God above all for everything. We thank Radio Maria for this opportunity. Again, for the Nativity Set, radiomaria.us / Nativity Set. Please, you've got until November 30th to send in your, I guess, submission or application. What would you call it? I don't know what you call it. But anyway, your opportunity to win that Nativity Set. Also, that's also the website where you can donate to Radio Maria also. I want to end, Mother and sisters, with, we try always to incorporate, we have to, our Blessed Mother into these sessions. And it's nice to incorporate St. Hannibal de Francia. And for those of you who don't know, St. Hannibal de Francia, well, he's already a saint, number one. Number two, St. Hannibal was also he was the spiritual director to Luisa for 19 years. He gave the Nihil Obstat to the first 19 volumes, then he passed away. Otherwise, he would have done all 36. But he was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, who is the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, a fully approved apparition of Our Lady with the church. So again, he's been around, St. Annibal, and much credibility to his stake. So we want to quote from him. This is included in the fourth hour, the Hours of the Passion. And this is just a little excerpt. And this is St. Annibal, the words of St. Annibal, quote, "By doing the Hours of the Passion, we will divert from the heart of Jesus all the evils all souls thrust upon him, while trying to replace this evil with all the good we can do, and entreating Jesus to grant salvation, sanctity, and love to all souls," end quote. Our opportunity to become humble heroes. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. God bless everyone. Ciao.